They might. The Duncans know you had contact.
Maybe I should head over there.
And maybe I should get back to the motel. I think they hurt Mr. Vincent. He didn't sound too good on the phone.
There's an old barn and an old shed south of the motel, off the road to the west, made of wood, all alone in a field. Whose are they?
They're nobody's. They were on one of the farms that got sold for the development that never happened, 50 years ago.
I have a truck in there. I took it from the football players last night. Give me a ride?
No. I'm not driving you past the Duncan place again.
They don't have X-ray vision.
They do. They have 100 pairs of eyes.
So you want me to walk past their place?
You don't have to. Head west across the fields until you see a cell tower. One of my neighbors leases half an acre to the phone company. That's how he pays his haulage. Turn north there and skirt the Duncan place on the blind side, and then you'll see the barns.
How far is it?
It's a morning's walk.
I'll burn up all that breakfast.
That's what breakfast is for. Make sure you turn north, okay? South takes you near Seth Duncan's house, and you really don't want to go there. You know the difference between north and south?
I walk south, I get warmer. North, I get colder. I should be able to figure it out.
I'm serious.
What was your daughter's name?
Margaret, the woman said. Her name was Margaret.
So Richard walked around the back of the barns and the sheds and the coops and the sties and struck out across the fields. The sun was nothing more than a bright patch of luminescence in the high gray sky, but it was enough to navigate by. After 10 o'clock in the morning in Nebraska in the winter time, and it was solidly east of south behind his left shoulder. He kept it there for 40 minutes, and then he saw a cell phone tower looming insubstantial in the mist. It was tall and skeletal, with a microwave receptor the shape of a bass drum and cell antennas the shape of fungo bats. It had a tangle of dead brown weeds at its base, and it was surrounded by a token barbed wire fence. In the far distance beyond it was a farmhouse similar to Dorothy's. The neighbors, presumably. The ground underfoot was hard and lumpy, all softball-sized clods and clarts of frozen earth, the wreckage from last year's harvest. They rolled away, either left or right, or were crushed under his heels as he walked. He turned north at the tower. The sun had moved on. Now it was high and almost behind him, an hour before the season's drab version of noon. There was no warmth in it, just light, a little brighter than the rest of the day. Far ahead, to the right, he could see a smudge on the horizon. The three Duncan houses, he guessed, grouped together at the end of their long shared driveway. He couldn't make out any detail, certainly nothing man-sized, which meant no one there could make out any man-sized detail either, in reverse. Same number of miles east to west as west to east, same gray gloom, same mist. But even so, he tracked left a little, following a curve, maintaining his distance, making sure. Dorothy, the housekeeper, sat Mr. Vincent down in a red velvet chair and sponged the blood off his face. He had a split lip and a cut brow and a lump the size of an egg under his eye. He had apologized for being so slow with his warning call. He had passed out, he said, and had scrambled for the phone as soon as he came around. Dorothy told him to hush up. On the other side of the circular room, one of the bar stools was lying on its side, and a mirrored panel on the bar back had been shattered. Shards of slivered glass had fallen among the bottles like daggers. One of the NASA mugs was broken. Its handle had come right off. Angelo Mancini had the doctor's shirt collar bunched in his left hand, and he had his right hand bunched into a fist. The doctor's wife was sitting in Roberto Cassano's lap. She had been ordered to, and she had refused. So Mancini had hit her husband hard in the face. She had refused again. Mancini had hit her husband again, harder. She had complied. Cassano had his hand on her thigh, his thumb an inch under the hem of her skirt. She was rigid with fear and shuddering with revulsion.
"Talk to me, baby,"
Cassano whispered in her ear.
"Tell me where you told Jack Reacher to hide."
"I didn't tell him anything."
"You were with him 20 minutes last night. The weirdo at the motel told us so."
"I didn't tell him anything."
"So what were you doing there for 20 minutes? Did you have sex with him?"
"No."
"You want to have sex with me?"
She didn't answer.
"Shy?" Cassano asked. "Bashful? Cat got your tongue?"
He moved his hand another inch, upward. He licked the woman's ear. She ducked away, just twisted at the waist and leaned right over, away from him. He said,
"Come back, baby."
She didn't move. He said, "Come back," a little louder. She straightened up. He got the impression she was about to puke. He didn't want that, not all over his good clothes. But he licked her ear one more time anyway, just to show her who was boss. Mancini hit the doctor one more time, just for fun. Traveling men roaming around, getting the job done. But wasting their time in Nebraska, that was for sure. No one knew a damn thing. The whole place was as barren as the surface of the moon, with much less to do. Who would stay? This guy Reacher was long gone, obviously, totally in the wind. Probably halfway to Omaha by the time the sun came up, rumbling along in the stolen truck, completely unnoticed by the county cops, who clearly sat around all night with their thumbs up their butts, because hadn't they missed every single one of the deliveries roaring through from Canada to Vegas for months? Hadn't they? Every single one? Assholes. Yokels. Retards. All of them. Cassano jerked upright and spilled the doctor's wife off his lap. She sprawled on the floor. Mancini punched the doctor one more time, and then they left, back to the rented Impala parked outside. Reacher kept the three smudged shapes far to his right and tracked onward. He was used to walking. All soldiers were. Sometimes there was no alternative to a long, fast advance on foot, so soldiers trained for it. It had been that way since the Romans, and it was still that way, and it would stay that way forever. So he kept on going, satisfied with his progress, enjoying the small compensations that fresh air and country smells brought with them.